Behold, your king comes to you, O Zion, meek and lowly, sitting upon an ass. Ride on in the cause of truth and for the sake of justice. The throne is the throne of God, it endures forever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a righteous scepter. You have loved righteousness and hated evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during Lent, we have been preparing by words of love and self-sacrifice for the celebration of our Lord's death and resurrection. Today, we begin Holy Week in union with the Church throughout the world, recalling how Christ enters his own city to complete his work as our Saviour, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. Let us go with him in faith and love, so that united with him in his sufferings, we may share his risen love. I could ask you to raise your palm. God, our Saviour, whose Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah to suffer and to die, let these palms be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our king and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, with the love and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They said, "The Lord needs it." Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us go forth praising Jesus, our Messiah.
Thank you.
strength and in his glory. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus. near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat.
Where would you like us to
prepare?" They asked him. He said to them,
"Where would you really like us to prepare?"
Listen, when you enter into the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there.
So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal.
When the hour came, Jesus took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them,
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink unless from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance."
And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed."
Then they began to ask one another who it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles rule it over, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. But who is greater? The one who is at the table, or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am amongst you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have been turned back, strengthen your hopes."
And Simon Peter said to Jesus,
"Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death."
Jesus said,
"I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me."
Jesus said to them,
"When I sent you out without a purse or bag or sandals, did you lack anything?"
They said,
"No."
He said to them,
"But now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled."
They said,
"Lord, look, two swords."
He replied,
"It is enough."
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them,
"Pray that you may not come into this time of trial."
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
"Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done."
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him.
gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into this time of trial."
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and a one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
"Judas, is it for the kiss that you are praying so much?"
When those who were around him saw him, saw what was coming, they asked,
"Lord, should we strike him with
the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out with sword and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, did you not lay hands on me? But this is your hour and the power of God."
Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
"This man also was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
"This man also was with him."
But Peter said,
"I was not."
Then, about an hour later still, another kept insisting, but Peter said,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
At that moment, while he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to them, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, they kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He said to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man subverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king."
Then Pilate asked him,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against this man."
But they were insistent and said,
"He stirs up the people by teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee where he began, even to this place."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
Then they all shouted out together,
"Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!"
This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate wanted to release Jesus, address them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify! Crucify him!"
A third time he said to them,
"Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished.
And they led him away. They seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will they do when the wood is dry?"
Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
"He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
"If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself."
There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
But the other rebuked him, saying,
"Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
Jesus replied,
"Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
"Certainly, this man was innocent."
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come to him with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. This is the word of the Lord.
Sanctify us in the truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. So one location endless discovery. One location, endless discovery. It's a marketing slogan I came across the other day. Any ideas from where? Well, I'll come back to that in a moment or two. Well, friends, it's been a while, hasn't it? 3 years since we've been able to be together on Palm Sunday, as we would wish. And 4 years for me. For 3 years ago, I was on sabbatical. So it is really good to be here as God's family in Whitkirk as we begin this Holy Week. Thank you, as always, to our friends from the Arts Guild who have helped set the scene for us, a kind of prologue to the events which unfold in this coming week. And what a week it is, Holy Week, the week in our year. It begins, as we know, in celebration as Jesus enters Jerusalem on a donkey. Crowds cheer him, palm branches are waved, cloaks are laid for him on the floor. Yet the cheers of today turn to jeers by Friday. And Lent has been a season to attune our senses so that these days might speak to us afresh. Yet whether you have observed Lent or not, there is a story still to be told in the days ahead. And my job as a fellow pilgrim is to be a fellow pilgrim on the journey, to invite you to come and share in the days, share in our retelling of the last days of Jesus, a story we know well, though there is always more to discover. A story into which we bring our stories, whatever they are at this moment, whatever joys and struggles we have, whatever stage of life we are, and open our hearts to seek the Lord. And that leads me back to our slogan for this week, One Location, Endless Discovery. I noticed it in a vacant retail unit at the Springs up the road. One location, endless discovery. Pleasant though it is, I'm not sure that a bit of retail therapy or a workout at the gym or even a trip to the cinema leads us to endless discovery, but I admire their ambition. And they are words that work for us. For this week, the focal point for Holy Week is, of course, one location here in church. And the story to be told is one in which there is endless discovery. For whether you have never been here for this week before, or you've been here many times, there is always something new to discover. My focus as preacher this year will be to focus in on some of the words of Jesus in the hope that my reflections might help yours. Over the years, I've come to value that image of Mary that we find near the beginning of St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus has been born. Shepherds, inspired by angels, visit the manger. They share their story with her. And then we read of how she treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. She treasured all the words and pondered them in her heart. That word ponder has a richness of meaning. It's not a throwaway word, more one that describes carrying in our hearts something we've experienced or heard. That's what happened to Mary, and our prayer today is that we might ponder and treasure the words of Jesus we hear just that little bit more deliberately and attentively than we might do normally this week. But how might you do it? Well, one way finds echoes in the preparation I do with wedding couples, some of whom are here. When I meet them at some stage, I will always ask them to print off the vows they will say to each other and pin them somewhere so they can see them. I often suggest a fridge so that when a cup of tea is being brewed or when dinner is being made, they can read and ponder the words. I invite them to reflect on what it might mean for them to have and to hold, to love and to cherish, and so on. And my hope is that by reading the words, treasuring and pondering them in their hearts, the words become their own, not those given by the church. Now, whilst you are not taking any vows to get married, perhaps there is something here. For one easy way to let the words speak is to take the booklet before you, this one, home with you, not just leave it here, and read Jesus' words again and let him speak into your life. Sit quietly with him and let him meet you through the words, maybe make notes or underline words or phrases that grab your attention, and trust that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, drawing you deeper into the mystery of our Lord's Passion. Trusting that, to return to the words with which I began, that we are being sanctified, we are being made holy, that's what it means, by the words on the page and the Word made flesh, who pray that his followers may be made holy, sanctified. So friends, try to make a bit of time this week to be with Jesus. Yes, here at St. Mary's, or online if you can't be here, for the worship we offer over these days has a particular quality. But also at home, as you drive along or go to the shops, ponder the words of Jesus. Try to carry them with you, whatever you are doing, and treasure them in your heart. I've loosely called these talks for the next few days, Take Jesus at His Word. Of course, there are those who might ask, did he actually say this or that? And they have a point. But then the Gospels were never meant to be read as some documentary retelling of his life story in minute detail. Rather, inspired by the Spirit, each writer, each writing from a different perspective, sought to capture something of humanity's encounter with the Son of God, the Word made flesh. And that same Spirit is at work amongst us. This week of all weeks, we seek an encounter with the Son of God in one location with endless discovery. Come and share the journey. Amen.
Let us pray to the Father, who loved the world so much, he sent his only Son to give us life. Let us pray. With shouts of joy and jubilation, the crowd announced your triumphal entry to the city. Let us fill our churches with these praises. We pray at this time for the Church of North India, for the moderator and Bishop of Jabalpur, the Most Reverend Dr. Prem Singh, and for all who worship there. In our own church, we pray for all involved with Messy Church this afternoon and on Good Friday, and we hold in our prayers all clergy and servers who will lead the services during Holy Week. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Lord, we pray for all teachers, students, classroom assistants, and all other staff in schools as they enjoy their Easter holiday break. May they take advantage of the local visitor attractions, museums and art galleries, and all that they have to offer. And above all, stay safe. Lord, in your mercy,
Amen.
Dear Lord, come and rule in our lives, that there may be peace in our hearts and in our homes. May we show our appreciation of your love by returning that love in the way we live and in our dealings with each other. We pray at this time for the residents of the Mount. Let us not forget, Lord, that not all are blessed with a home or a permanent residence. We hold in our prayers and give thanks for all who work for the Emmaus charity. Support and strengthen them as they work together to overcome homelessness and social exclusion, while using their voice to achieve social change. Lord, in your mercy, bless and guide Elizabeth, our Queen. We give thanks for her continuing witness and service. God of peace, we pray at this time for leaders on the world stage, that guided by you, they behave with integrity and wisdom. May they work together so that peace, justice, and respect for the principle of human rights may flourish. We pray especially for those caught up in the fear, conflict, and violence in Ukraine, and for the families torn apart. May they feel your presence as they journey through this time of turmoil. Lord, in your mercy. As the disciples and friends looked on, powerless and frightened, as Christ suffered, we pray, Lord, that you would be with all who are suffering in mind, body, and spirit. May they know that you walk with them as you did with Jesus in Holy Week. We hold in our prayers Ginny Campone, Tom Heafy, Jeff Blowers, Sharon Clark, Beryl Laverick, and Shane Simpson, together with those in long-term care, Mary Metcalf, Doreen Hall, Margaret Burton, George Brown, and Jennifer Mode. Shine the light of your hope to illumine their darkest times. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Lord, you were with Mary as she lay at the foot of the cross on which you died. Be with all who weep by the side of loved ones who have died. We bring to you Alan and Mavis Cross, Pat Hyde, and Barbara Dacre, who have recently died, and those whose anniversary of death falls at this time, known only to you. Comfort those who mourn with the knowledge that their loved ones begin a new life of light and love with you forever. Lord, in your mercy. The cross was once an instrument of torture and death. Our palm crosses, by Christ's passion and resurrection and God's love for us, are now a symbol of victory, peace, and eternal life. May we always lift them high and proclaim the love of Christ. Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Jesus, true vine and bread of life, ever giving yourself what the world may live, let us share your death and passion. Make us perfect in your love.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For as the time of his passion and resurrection draws near, the whole world is called to acknowledge his hidden majesty. The power of the life-giving cross reveals the judgment that has come upon the world and the triumph of Christ crucified. He is the victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever, our advocate in heaven to plead our cause, exalting us there to join with angels and archangels, forever praising you and singing. Bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory.
Great is the mystery of faith.
Of all life. Help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with Blessed Mary and all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ,
in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honour and glory be yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Jesus,
draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you humbled yourself in taking the form of a servant and in obedience died on the cross for our salvation. Give us the mind to follow you and to proclaim you as Lord and King to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Faithful God,
may
we who share this banquet follow you. Glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation, life, and hope, who reigns as Lord now and forever. Amen. The world that he gave his only Son, bring you by faith to his eternal life.
Amen.
May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to the Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him the way of the cross.
Amen.
May the Spirit, who strengthened us to suffer with Christ, that we may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love, and remain with you always.
Amen. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.